The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS NFL Podcast. Happy Monday. Happy draft week. I'm Katie Moss here with Ryan Wilson and managing editor for Sportsline and CBS Sports Fantasy, RJ White. And we're talking draft props today. As always, keep it locked with us all week long for your NFL offseason coverage. But especially this week, as we have shows Monday through Friday, including right after night one of the draft on Thursday night. Brinson After Midnight is my favorite Brinson. Of course, if you're watching us, show some love with a like or a comment, and even better, subscribe to the YouTube page, audio listeners only. Do the same, download, follow, leave a five-star review, and tell your friends to listen and watch the pod. Gentlemen, happy draft week. Are you gearing up towards a little vacation here, Wilson?
Yes. The short answer is yes. And by the way, this is how far RJ's come in 4 years. I think it's my fourth draft. RJ, who actually recommended me for doing more of this stuff, which I send him a couple pennies every month. Okay. He was the draft editor back in 2018, 2019. Now he's a managing editor running things over there. So RJ is trending upwards at Mike Tomlin, as Mike Tomlin likes to say, and I'm just sort of holding steady, which I'll take.
No, I think you're trending upwards too. I'm number two to Wilson in that sense.
That's what I was looking for. Thank you, RJ.
That's what you're looking for, too. All right, so let's dive right into this. And RJ, you know, you sent us your draft, or you had a draft that you posted earlier today. Let's kind of go through some of these. You have Will Levis going number one. Interesting, you've got the Colts taking CJ Stroud. He was a hot topic on this show and also just across the internet in this last week. Brinson said he might not even go top 10. So why don't you just kind of walk us through this mock draft that you just posted today?
Well, I have Levis going number two, not number one. I think the pitchforks would come out if I put Levis at number one. And just before, to set the table really quick, this isn't what I think teams should do. This isn't even what I think is going to happen. This is what the betting market thinks is going to happen heading into draft week. I put this all together on Sunday night based solely on the odds in the draft market from several different books, kind of handicapping here and there where the movement has been, where what has coalesced is what the expected things are at certain spots. And at number two right now, surprisingly, it's Will Levis to Houston at number two. We saw it was Stroud when he moved to being an underdog at number one. And then we saw it move to Will Anderson last week. And then we saw it move to Tyree Wilson late last week. And now it seems like Will Levis is in that seat. So I don't think that's tied to any reporting right now, him being minus 160 at Caesars. So as far as I could tell, so I think that means that the people most likely to know things we don't, the ones that stand to cash in on this type of thing, know some things that we don't right now. So I think that's probably the most likely to be the pick right now. But, you know, as of a week ago, I thought it was going to be Will Anderson. So it can change from there. And I think it does make sense to take a quarterback here. There's going to be some solid edge rushers at number 12 for Houston if they go quarterback, or they could trade it from that 12 spot.
Yeah, the Will Levis thing at two is sort of interesting. I don't think the Texans are the ones that are going to make that happen at two. I know that, or at least I've heard that they're out on Stroud. They love Bryce Young. We're going to try to trade up for him, and obviously the Carolina Panthers beat them to the punch. I think for Will Levis to go two, a team's going to have to trade up, and Houston might be interested in trading down. I've heard that they're out on Levis at two, at least. Maybe they circle back at 12 and get him. But there are a handful of teams that I've heard that aren't high on Levis, that high in the draft. One of the ones that isn't, the Indianapolis Colts, which means they'd have to trade up from 4 to 2, do a deal with a division rival if they really wanted Will Levis there. But they can stay put and maybe C.J. Stroud falls them, which is what RJ has happening in this draft, according to the betting markets, which feels like a better way to go. But, you know, the thing is, you have no idea. In fact, RJ, I looked on April 19th, 2022, Malik Willis was the minus money favorite to be the first quarterback drafted. Yeah. And that just goes to show you that that's a little farther out than the draft than we are now, obviously. That it's hard. You don't know, because teams aren't in the business talking about what they're going to do, because unlike breaking news when it comes to a player getting traded in October, there's some leverage at play. Here, it's just like you're telling on yourself, and it may not, and not only may not, it's not in your best interest to sort of show your hand. So I don't know if Will Levis goes too. I don't think he's going to Houston at two. I'd be shocked if he did. It would have to be a trade-up scenario for me.
I'm glad you brought up the Willis thing, because we have a NFL Draft Best Bets prop article that we put out on Sportsline every year. Last year, I had 5 of my 8 props that were plus 200 or shorter come through, and most of those were plus prop odds, and one of them was Kenny Pickett to go first quarterback drafted at like plus 140, plus 150 as of Monday of draft week. So just bring that up to say there's something similar coming out. I submitted it to the staff to take a look at, about an hour ago. So that should be up on Sportsline today if anybody wants to go and check it out.
Can you give us a hint about Will Levis, where he's going then?
I didn't have him in that. The odds are just moving. I'm trying to put something together that the odds are going to at least be a little bit consistent over the next few days, since we're going to, try to get people into this article over the next few days, and I don't have to change it every 30 minutes. And gotcha. This Levis market is just moving back and forth right now.
All right, moving down your list here, you've got some interesting things happening with the number 10 pick in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I have them trading down right now. Paris Johnson's still a significant favorite to be the first offensive lineman drafted, but he's slightly juiced at over 9.5 for his draft position. So it feels like 10 is a spot for him. Doesn't really feel like Philly's the team for that. Paris Johnson is a tackle. I'm sure Ryan will tell us more about that. Feels like they're really linked to Peter Skoronski, who is a big favorite to go number 10 overall. So feels like the way to make that happen is for the Jets to come up from 13 to Philly's pick at 10 to secure the left tackle they so desperately need in Paris Johnson. Now, to do that, in my draft pick trade value chart, it's going to take 13, 42, and 207, with the Jets also getting back 62 from Philly. So basically, they drop back 20 spots. Still get to keep a quote-unquote second-round pick if that has to be a factor in the deal that we expect is going to come for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, another way that could happen too is, and this is just hypothetical, I don't disagree with what you've done here in your mock draft, RJ, but if the Eagles really want Jalen Carter and they just trade up from 10 to 9 and perhaps get Jalen Carter there, and then the Bears come down and can get an offensive tackle there if they so choose as well. It's going to be interesting to see how this offensive line class goes off the board, because Peter Skoronski, who I love and I thought had a great season for Northwestern, isn't going to play left tackle in the NFL. It looks like I would try him there, but every time I talk to someone, they're like, no, his arms are too short. He's moving inside. I think he's the best technician of the offensive tackles and or offensive guards in his case. And then it's going to be Paris Johnson Jr. or Broderick Jones. There's going to be some movement on Broderick Jones, I bet. And RJ, you would know more than me in terms of the lines, but teams like Broderick Jones, he's more of a long range project than Paris Johnson Jr. in terms of the upside. Both are really athletic, but Broderick Jones might end up being the better of the two. And then, of course, Darnell Wright, the right tackle out of Tennessee, might go a little higher than people think. I don't know what his over-under is off the top of my head, but it feels like 15, 16 might be the range that folks typically have him going in these mock drafts. But if you went a little higher than that, that wouldn't surprise me either.
Well, that's exactly where he's posted right now at 15.5 with the underjuiced right now. But I think a lot of that is built into Daniel Jeremiah came out, and when he talked to the media last week, he got asked about the Bears and what they might do at offensive line. And he specifically said Darnell Wright is a name he's heard there. So I think that also moved the markets for the number 9 overall pick, where Darnell Wright is now the co-favorite with Jalen Carter at plus 300 to go. So that would be a nice little, way to get some value in the first offensive lineman market, where depending on where you look, Darnell Wright is plus 450 to plus 600 still. But if he goes to Chicago 9, I don't know if anybody is going taking an offensive lineman in the first 8 picks, So that might be a way to get a nice little payout there If in fact that is the guy for Chicago and Carter's not available.
One thing to note, I don't know if I said it on this podcast or with the first pick, or I know I said it on radio, but I heard a couple of weeks ago that the Steelers were interested in trading up, and one of their targets that I heard was Paris Johnson Jr. So that also could throw a wrench in the plans. Now, how high you're willing to trade up for Paris Johnson Jr., I don't know. I can't imagine you're going, I mean, three would be silly in my mind. You know, 8, 9, 10 makes more sense, sort of what you're talking about, RJ, but that's also something to keep an eye on. And could, by the way, determine who's the first offensive tackle taken. If someone comes out of the blue that has a someone they fell in love with that isn't whoever we think tackle one should be, just something to keep an eye on. Not really much you can do about it, but I've heard that the Steelers are interested in Paris Johnson Jr.
How are you guys attacking the Lions? Because I know they just let go of four wide receivers from their room based on some gambling issues. Did that affect where you think that they will pick in this draft?
Well, they didn't let them all go. You know, some of them are getting suspended, but they're not.
I kept the good ones.
Cutting bait with Jameson Williams by any means. So that is a factor, but it's not going to be a factor at five, I don't think, or six, or wherever they're picking. The favorite right now is for them to take a cornerback with that pick, very strongly linked to Devin Weatherspoon in the odds, and they continue to be. The interesting thing about it is because they have that pick later in the first round, where the cornerbacks like Joey Porter Jr., Deontay Banks, those type of guys will be available. Doesn't it make more sense if they want to get a franchise quarterback to do it at six? If one of these guys gets out of the top five, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson. I mean, I've been a long proponent, people hear me talk on this podcast about Brian Daboll, talking him up and what he did with Josh Allen and how the Giants would be good because they got him as a head coach. I think the Detroit could be in a similar situation with Ben Johnson at offensive coordinator. He's a guy that can maximize the talent there, get the most out of somebody. And if you take a guy who is unpolished like Anthony Richardson, people have, you know, Ryan can break him down fully, I'm sure. But the problems with him, I don't think, are athletic, you know, and this is his ceiling. And you need a guy that can help him reach his ceiling. And Detroit feels like a place where that could happen. And you trade in a quarterback in Jared Goff, who is steady. He's going to get you to the playoffs probably this year. They're expected to be the win the division when you look at the odds, and really give you a Super Bowl window starting next year if he develops like a Josh Allen did, like these guys did that are reaching their ceiling with good coaching staffs.
Yeah, so they have two first-round picks. Seahawks have two first-round picks, and those feel like the two best landing spots for someone like Anthony Richardson for the reasons you're pointing out, RJ. You don't have to start. And it's a solid organization. The coaching staff and the GM, they're not going anywhere. The ownership is solidly behind those folks, and it's not a situation like the Texans, for example, where Texans fans are skeptical of Kyle McNair doing the right thing, or sometimes with the Colts and Ursay and what he might do. It sometimes feel like it's impulsive is one way to put it, see Jeff Saturday. But I think that when you have the number one, that infrastructure, number two, two first round picks, and number three, not a ton of needs. To RJ's point, you could take cornerback, you could take edge rusher, and maybe that they do that with those two first round picks. I don't think wide receiver is going to be a huge concern, especially early. You have the opportunity to take a quarterback there. So we'll see what happens, but I don't hate that idea. And I'm not sure what the odds are on the quarterback going at five or six, RJ, but my instinct is not to hate it, whatever the numbers are.
Well, the interesting thing is in one market, Anthony Richardson has moved to being the favorite to be number five to Seattle. Ah. He's still plus 500 at Caesars. He's still plus 350 at another site, but there's one where he's now above Will Anderson, who's plus 250 to be the favorite at number five. So we'll see if that continues, if whoever is getting that money into the market now, if that spills over to the other markets. But, you know, that's a good connection there for Seattle and Anthony Richardson. And then Detroit, yeah, I mean, why are they picking this high again? Like, I think they just need to go get a quarterback if they have that option.
And this is the Rams pick anyway, so that they're really not picking this high except for that trade. RJ, has the betting market, has Vegas gotten better over the last three or four years since betting on the drafts become a thing, or is it more just still reactionary based on news reports?
You mean better and more predictive?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, okay. They were ahead of the Trayvon Walker stuff last year. You know, that was before it was reported that Jack was going to be Jacksonville's guy. He had a very steady movement there. So even on the Monday of the draft, you can get Anthony Richardson over 1.5 at like plus 140 at that point. That was another part of that article we gave out because we saw that shift coming in the market and that Anthony Richardson figured to go two at best. So they've been doing that. They were kind of ahead of the Trey Lance stuff. You know, we pegged Lance as a long shot for number three that we loved. And because of his traits and how he fit with Shanahan. And then, you know, apparently somebody heard something before it was reported that they were shifting from your guy Mac to Trey Lance, and the odds started shifting there. So that's why I wanted to put this mock draft together with leaning on the betting markets and the odds, because it has been predictive in the last few years. And so if you're following it, This is kind of like the snapshot of if the draft were last night when I finalized all this stuff. This is probably a good snapshot of how it would go. Who knows what that's going to be on Thursday? Because we're saying with Anthony Richardson at 5 and Will Levis to Houston and all these things are still shifting around. So there's still plenty of road to go from here.
All right, we're going to get into some draft props coming up here next, but we do need to take a quick break. But before we do, have you tuned into the CBS Sports Galazzo Network yet? It's the first of its kind, free 24/7 channel dedicated exclusively to global soccer coverage. It's now streaming on the CBS Sports app, Pluto TV, and Paramount Plus. Get your morning started off on the right foot with Morning Footy, our weekday soccer culture-driven morning show beginning at 7 a.m. Eastern. Plus, don't miss the rest of our top-notch programming, including live matches and re-airs, original studio shows, highlights, documentaries, and much more. CBS Sports Galazzo Network is the ultimate year-round streaming destination for fans of the beautiful game. You're watching Pick 6. We'll be right back.
Get breaking news.
Big news coming out of the NFL today.
Highlights and instant reactions.
The largest final round comeback in four championship history. We're down to the final four.
I just want to take time to analyze greatness.
Talk winners and losers with a guy who's already a big winner.
CBS Sports HQ. It's all sports all day long.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to Pick Six. If you're not following us on social, make sure you do that at Pick Six Pods across all social platforms. All right, so let's get into some of these player prop lines. You alluded to it a little bit in that last segment there, but what do you like? I see Bijan Robinson here as going top 10, odds of that minus 110.
Yeah, this is more just a reflection of what the market's saying right now. I think there's a wide range of outcomes on Bijan Robinson. People wouldn't be surprised if he went top 10. Some people think he's going to Dallas at 26. I mean, that's about as big of a gap as you can see from a player graded as high, as Bijan is. So right now, the odds for him to go top 10 are minus 110. So it's basically a coin flip whether he is a top 10 pick at this point. Atlanta is the clear favorite to draft him. If you just look at the specific team to draft Bijan at plus 200, with Houston next at plus 500 and Philly at plus 750. So I think whether he goes to top 10 comes down to whether Atlanta can trade back a few spots. We talked about Paris Johnson a little bit ago. That seems like a perfect opportunity for them to go down to 13 with the Jets or 11 with the Titans or somewhere, and then be able to pick Bijan, there. If a team's looking to come up for a quarterback that's falling, or to go up for Paris Johnson or Jalen Carter. So I think he probably lands on Atlanta is what the market is telling us. It's just a question of whether that happens at 8 or somewhere else.
Hey, let me ask you this quickly, because I'm looking at your mock draft. Just based on the betting market, it's not what you would do necessarily, RJ. And Nolan Smith is 12th to the Texans, but the 12 number is sort of catches my eye because I don't know if he goes that high just based on folks I've talked to and watching him. But tell me why there's a chance that he goes in the middle of the first round.
Well, a couple of different markets have his specific position over under posted. One has the over at 10.5 juiced. One has the under at 12.5 juiced. So it really feels like 11, 12 is the range. Also, at times he has been the favorite to go to Atlanta at 8,
wow,
the 8th overall pick over Bijan. Those have been mixed back and forth, but I mean, you could see Atlanta needing pass rush help. Be even after signing Bud Dupree, that could be an option for them. And if they're not going to be in range to get a Wilson or Anderson, which we don't expect is going to happen.
All right, moving on this, you've got Stroud going top 5, minus 1,000. Obviously, this is based on the betting markets. And we talked to Brinson last week, and he said, don't be afraid to lay the juice, especially really close to the draft. Is this a bet that you would make at minus 1,000?
Minus 1,000, a little too rich. I think if you want to figure out where he's going to go, you can just play him plus number 3 or number 4, both around plus 200, 210, 240. So you get both of those. You're getting odds when you combine them around, you know, way better than just being a top 5 pick. So if he doesn't go there, you know, maybe Seattle is the backstop at 5, but feels like these odds right now are just telling you that he's not going to fall out of the top 5 if he's posted at minus 1,000. And these were posted recently. He wasn't really in the top 5 market in general, but because this narrative has come up that he's not going to go to, and he could possibly fall down to 3. I felt like the book that posted it wanted to put something out there, and just they put a big number up there at minus 1,000. So right now, I just don't think it's very likely he goes top 5 outside of the top 5 is what the market's telling us.
And the interesting thing about 5 is where Seattle picks. The other interesting thing is it was hard to find a comp for CJ Stroud. And finally, whenever in the fall, earlier January, February, I settled on Geno Smith. So if you like Geno Smith, and Geno Smith isn't a sexy comp, but he played so well last year that you would certainly take that as a franchise quarterback going forward, even if it's not Josh Allen or Joe Burrow. And maybe that's the thinking there as well. Worst case, you get Geno Smith 2.0, which sounds like a funny thing to say out loud, but the 2022 version might not be a bad way to go forward after Geno's deal. You know, he's 3 years on this deal. They could move on from next year or whatever. And what Rick Spielman likes to say, it's like, look, you take a quarterback and then you just reevaluate it at the end of the year. You can never have too many good quarterbacks and options there. So I like that. That's interesting. I know Brinson said that he may fall outside the top 10. I talked to people that said that's not going to happen, but you know, never say never, because this is draft season.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, taking a look at some of these wide receivers. You got Jordan Addison out of USC, Zay Flowers out of Boston College. Their over under in the draft is 22.5. What are you looking at here?
Yeah, both of these are actually juiced to the over. So there's been speculation, could Flowers be a fit for one of these teams in 18, 19, 20 range? You know, Detroit talking about the receivers that they are, their receiver room is now, you know, pretty barren because of these suspensions. Seattle has been a good fit for Flowers. And then Addison, I know a lot of people link to the Chargers and mock drafts, but the market's not really buying it on either of those. You know, with both of these juiced to the over, minus 140 for Addison, minus 170 on Flowers, both in those 22.5 numbers. So the interesting thing is that Baltimore picks 22nd. And I think a lot of people had been projecting them as a receiver team, but this is telling you, you know, they're more likely to go cornerback, which is where they are plus 115 odds to get a defensive back first, as opposed to plus 170 for a receiver. So I think both of these guys, probably expecting them, their range starts with Minnesota at 23, if you believe the market.
So something that's interesting to me, I've talked to people in the league that think Zay Flowers has a chance to be wide receiver 1, which is interesting because he's 5'9", 183. And when you watch him play in the open field, he reminds me a little bit of Antonio Brown in his prime, which is certainly not a bad thing, but he is undersized. And what I got back was 55% Jackson Smith and Jigba is wide receiver 1, and Zay Flowers is the other guy has a chance to be wide receiver 1. And it just depends on the team, because different teams like different wide receivers at the top of their board. So this 22.5 number is interesting to me. And I don't know, like I don't have a good feel for it just based on folks I've spoken with, but I was happy to see that he has a chance to be one of the first two wide receivers, just because we haven't talked a lot about him in terms of the pre-draft process, because he went to BC and played on a terrible offense where he was only showing down. I do love Jordan Addison, but at 173, I get concerned if teams are worried about his size. He ran a 4.49, but that's plenty fast. He plays actually faster than that. But these numbers are very interesting to me, RJ, just because I don't have a real sense. There is no Jamar Chase. There is no, for a top line, Drake London type situation. Was Drake London over under 10-ish last year? Or because he went higher than I thought.
Yeah, I think it was somewhere around there. And I think he was the slight underdog to be the first receiver drafted for a while. And then as we got closer and he got connected to Atlanta, that flipped. The interesting thing you said about the 55% comment with JSN is that he's minus 260 to be the first receiver drafted at, I believe, Caesars, and as much as minus 430 at other markets. But if that number is right, I mean, you're going to find value in these other people. And I think it might that value might be right, because the receiver market's interesting. Recent years without a top 10 receiver like a Jamar Chase have featured surprises as the first receiver drafted. We know Henry Ruggs. We know Marquise Brown wasn't projected to be the number 1 when he went at 24 or 25, whenever that was. DJ Moore was a little bit of a surprise. So he was the first receiver drafted his class. Corey Coleman was the first receiver drafted his class. He wasn't
expected. Bring that up.
So when you don't have those top 10 receivers, it can kind of go any which way. So the interesting thing about this class is you have all these smaller bodies, these guys that have certain roles that don't have the size. And we know the receiver position is actually a collection of a few different positions, and guys that do different things, guys that can be possession receivers over the middle, guys that can go deep, guys that can win at the catch point and be bigger body guys. So the interesting thing is, if there is a team that there's no receivers been drafted once you get past 16, 17, 18, whatever, and they are looking for a bigger body type, could you get a value on a guy like Quentin Johnston? Could you even get a value on some of these other guys we think are going to go deeper, Cedric Tillman, Jonathan Mingo, those type of guys? Would it really shock you if there's not if there's not going to be a top 15 receiver, if they just fit the profile of what somebody's looking for better and they become like the Cole Strange of this class and they get drafted at 21 or 22 as the first receiver drafted for ridiculous odds, 100 plus, 100 to 1, 150 to 1, whatever they are.
RJ, let me ask you a question. What's CJ? Do you have Cedric Tillman's number in front of you? His over-under number?
For he doesn't have an over under number. He has.
I think he's going to get drafted higher than people think. I think he has a chance to go in the second round. So once we see that number, I'd be interested to see what it actually is.
I do know he's like 50 to 1 to be the second receiver drafted.
Oh, that's a great. Right, no, that's interesting. So, I like that. And I want to ask you about his teammate, Hendon Hooker, over under 31.5 minus 120. Spielman's been talking this up for a while on the With the First Pick podcast. He thinks that he's going to go in the first round just for the fifth year option. And I said to him today, actually, I said, is 19 to the Buccaneers too early for Hendon Hooker? He said, no, it is not. So there's a push for Hendon Hooker that you feel there's a chance that he sneaks into the first round, it looks like.
Well, the odds said, first of all, the odds were very, very clearly that there would be under 4.5 quarterbacks for the longest time. It was very much juiced to the under. Then it got closer to even. Then Hendon Hooker's over under comes up and it's around this 31.5 number, slightly juiced to the over, which means he slightly is not expected to be a first round quarterback. Now, that's of Sunday night when I put this together, this mock draft together.
By the way, I forgot they're not 32 picks either. So that's on me. They're 31 picks.
As of Monday, we've seen a little bit of a shift. And now Hooker's favored to be a top 30 pick, minus 140 at under 30.5 at Caesars, minus 155 to be a first round pick at FanDuel. That probably means there's a stronger connection with a team like Tampa, like you're saying, or like a team like Minnesota, which is the favorite to draft Hooker at plus 350 than initially anticipated. So he could end up settling in that mix. We talked about Detroit and Seattle, go get a quarterback now. I mean, if they like him, they obviously can sit him and let him get healthy, or could maybe connect it to a team planning a trade. I know there were reports that the Raiders had him as the third quarterback on their board. Maybe they come up and into the first round. So right now the market was saying as of Sunday night that he was a little bit less likely than is to be in the first round. And as of Monday afternoon, it's flipped. And now he's a little bit more likely to be in the first round than we anticipated.
And by the way, Katie, Rick mentioned this just today. He's mentioned it before. Hendon Hooker, he says, reminds him a lot of Teddy Bridgewater. And you talk about RJ, that connection with Minnesota. Obviously, the front office and coaching staff has changed, but Teddy Bridgewater was drafted there. And maybe Hendon Hooker is going to be TB 2.0 or something.
Yeah, maybe. Victor in the chat says Hendon Hooker to Minnesota. Mm. All right, now let's look at maybe some more long shots or some plus monies that you like, or at least that the market is dictating. We got Jahmyr Gibbs, running back out of Alabama, plus 280 to go in the first round.
And again, this was as of Sunday night, plus 280 to go in the first round. It was heavily juiced under 1.5 first round running backs. That's changed now. We're just like the quarterbacks under 4.5. It's pretty close to even whether under 1.5 is going to come. It's down to minus 120 at Caesars after previously being a massive favorite. And Gibbs briefly went from a favorite to go in round one, a big favorite. I saw minus 175 at one book to be a round one pick on Monday morning. Now he's in the plus 100 to minus 115 range when he was like plus 200 something, you know, plus 280 like we have in this. So a huge shift with him on Monday. Maybe there's a connection there with Dallas. I think that's the team that's favored to take him right now. Or maybe a team like Cincinnati, which might not get one of the top two tight ends. If the fact that this class doesn't have a ton of first round talent, like, you know, probably a little bit less than usual. I don't know if Ryan's heard, and maybe it's 17 to 20 type of first round grades. It seems to be the number that's popping around when you listen to these general managers. And if that's the case, and those tight ends are two of those guys, they might go a little earlier than expected. Maybe the Cowboys get the second one instead of the first one, and then the Bengals have to pivot to somebody like Gibbs.
Yeah, Rick mentioned 16 or so first round grades. And first round grades, when you talk about NFL teams or guys that can come in and start right away, doesn't necessarily mean they want to turn into top tier players. Yeah, man, here's the thing. You mentioned Jahmyr Gibbs to the Bengals as a Steelers fan. I would absolutely hate that. So that tells you how good a pick that would be. I do wonder, though, and just speaking football, not so much the betting markets, but it feels like Tony Pollard and Jahmyr Gibbs are the same guy. But I don't know what the things that, you know, Jerry Jones thinks are good ideas don't necessarily mesh with other people think are good ideas. But I love Jahmyr Gibbs in the first round. It's just a fit. I love Bijan to the Bills. I don't think you want to take him there at the bottom of the first round, Jahmyr Gibbs, because he feels a lot like James Cook. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is a little better player, but there are a lot of teams between 10 when the Eagles pick and 30 when they pick again that could be in the running back business. And another favorite landing spot, I would love Bijan to go to the Chargers whenever they pick in the 20s. I don't know if they'll be there, but just to electrify that offense. All that is to say that if Jahmyr Gibbs snuck into the first round, I would not be shocked, especially at the tail end, just because he's special. He told us at the combine that his comp, he compares himself to Christian McCaffrey, and that's not far off. You can go Alvin Kamara, you can go Dalvin Cook, whatever it is. That's the type of player you're getting, and he's an immediate impact guy.
Is there any other like good value or plus money that we should be looking at, like possibly Darnell Washington? He's at even money to go in the round one.
I think that might be a bit of a stretch. I mean, if since he is just super committed to tight end, then sure. You know, if the first two are off the board, then they go with that. That wouldn't be crazy. I think looking for plus money stuff, you want to go a little bit longer shot because the draft is so unpredictable. Doing something like that, Darnell Wright, you know, first offensive lineman taken because of the connection with Chicago and certain things like that, the crazy, you know, receiver stuff. I think you look at the Bijan, the specific team to draft Bijan Robinson, it could really be, we talked about the range as being super big with him. And it could be a team you're not expecting. Like the Packers are 75-1. And I mean, he's super athletic, fits that profile. And it's not like they're completely set up. AJ Dillon is free agent after this year. And what can you do if you can't get your new starting quarterback, young starting quarterback, a number one receiver that you love? You know, what better than to get him a running back to take that, you know, pressure off? So, I mean, that's the team that's in the range of where Bijan Robinson's going to probably get picked. That is just way too long odds, you know. So you can look at that. You could look at maybe the Jets. I know they have Breece Hall, but you know, if you upgrade, if they can trade up and get, or you know, if they don't get their offensive tackle, maybe they're just in that range for where Bijan's expected to go, being a fringe top 10 pick. So I think it's interesting when you look at those deeper teams in there, if you want to take a lottery ticket kind of shot to go with the Packers to take Bijan or one of these teams we're not expecting.
Do you bet on the draft, Wilson?
No, not for moral reasons. I don't bet on anything just because I'm lazy. I'll tell you a funny story, though, because I'm considerably older than both of you. So when I was in college, like in the mid-90s, we literally had to walk to the student union to watch the crawl on ESPN or ESPN2 or whatever it was to see what the West Coast games were, because I went to college in Virginia, because there was no regional telecast. So I gambled my senior year of college. I won my first like 12 bets. It's like $50 bets. I was like $800. And I lost like 20 in a row. And I needed to win like this. I needed to win the over of the Wake Forest, Oklahoma State. It was like Sweet 16, maybe the Elite Eight. I can't remember which game, but it's Randolph Childress versus Big Country. Mm. Remember those guys, RJ?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the over-under was 122. And whether I bet the over or the under, I got it. Otherwise, I was going to have to call my parents and borrow money. So that's the last time I really gambled laser focus. And it's just, I'm just too lazy, Katie. That's the answer. It's not because of any other reason.
Yeah, I'm sure, as you know, RJ, it's a lot of work and research.
Right. That's why RJ is RJ. That's why he's the managing editor.
That is why he's the managing editor. Okay, we're going to get into some more props coming up here next. We're taking a quick break here on the Pick Six Podcast.
Absolutely magisterial here.
Olha a torcida!
A artilharia do Campeonato Brasileiro.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast. I'm Katie Mox here with Ryan Wilson and RJ White. And today we are talking NFL draft props. Make sure you keep it locked with us all week long and subscribe, like, comment across everything that you possibly can. All right, let's get into first position drafted props. RJ, what are we looking at here?
Yeah, some interesting ones on the board. We've kind of gone over some of these teams. Arizona at three, their favorite defensive lineman or edge at -175. I think that's the expectation if they stay, if they can't trade down at three, or if they only make a small trade back. But we'll see if they get down further than, you know, six, you know, or do they start looking at cornerback, which is +155? Do they get an offensive lineman, which is next at +600? So yeah, it kind of depends on if they're able to find a trade and how far they trade down. I don't know that they would take offensive lineman at three, as Ryan was saying earlier. You get Seattle is heavily favored to be defensive line edge also at -250, just because the prospect's supposed to be on the board. And then next, quarterback +275. We talked about the Richardson market moving around a little bit, so that would be interesting there. And then Vegas was +175. Cornerback was favored there. Offensive lineman was +200. That's now moved. Offensive lineman's now the favorite from what I've seen. So, you know, that's one where maybe that's the landing spot for a Paris Johnson at number seven in the top 10. Then you get to Atlanta at you know, we talked about Bijan being there at +200. They're still favored to take DL edge at -135, whether that's Nolan Smith, like we talked about, for the edge rush, or Jalen Carter if they're sold on him.
Yeah, I'm looking at these. Are interesting, man. I'm looking at number 11. So number 11, for example, the Titans currently hold that pick. Does that mean the 11th overall pick, or what the Titans will do if they stay at 11?
This is just for the team's first position. So this is tied to each team. So okay, the Titans are -115 to pick a lineman first, +115 to take a quarterback first. So if they trade up to four and take a quarterback, that's what hits.
I sort of like quarterback +115 for the tie to the Titans. Doesn't matter where they do it. I don't hate the wide receiver either if they stay put and get a Jackson Smith and Jigba, for example. It is sort of funny that running back isn't on here because we've seen some Twitter chatter unsubstantiated that Derrick Henry's getting traded. And I don't know what that solves other than trying to blow the team up. But I do like the quarterback +115. Is that something that would interest you, or as a seasoned bettor, is that not something that pops on your radar?
Well, the issue with Tennessee is that they would need to trade up to get the quarterback. We're talking about four of them going to the top 10. And I don't know that they have the draft capital. I mean, they only have, I think, six picks this year. They're missing their fourth rounder, which isn't, you know, going to get you super high. But it's still like, once you trade up, you have a lot of needs for Tennessee. And once you start trading from the pool of what the available picks, and that just guys you're not going to be able to draft at those positions. So maybe you go next year. But they have traded some of their day three picks next year too. You know, a lot of this moving around for receiver thing that they've done the last few years, guys like Julio and Robert Woods. So I don't know if trading up's the answer. I believe they changed general managers this year. So it doesn't feel like the desperation is there to go up and need to save your job and get the guy right now. So I think they kind of sit back, see how this year goes. See what they would do with Tannehill. Maybe they can trade Tannehill, throw Willis in their tank a bit, and get in position for next year's quarterback class.
And that's why RJ's RJ.
That's why RJ's RJ. All right, RJ, obviously everyone needs to go and read your most recent mock draft on CBSSports.com with what the market is kind of dictating, but what is just some general rule of thumb for betting the draft that you can give us?
Well, it's about, you know, diversifying your portfolio and getting value early before news breaks. So once you're getting to the week of the draft, a lot of the value gets to be a little bit, you know, off the table. We talked about Trayvon Walker last year is one instance. It seems like there's so much uncertainty still at number two that the clock hasn't struck midnight for that yet. So I think there's still plenty to come, especially with these quarterbacks and moving around. So it'll be interesting to see. It just kind of follow the national reporters, follow guys like Ryan and what they're hearing, and being able to translate that into getting ahead of the market before it moves significantly. Like if you see something like this Anthony Richardson to number five go in one market, you might want to get it in one of your other markets where it's available before it catches up. Like if there's a prop that's +225 in one place and +500 in another place, that gives you a lot of profit potential there. Now you have to do all that kind of before you get to the day of the draft, because in certain markets, including in Vegas itself, they take the draft props off the board 24 hours before the draft starts. So the thing about the draft, betting the draft, it's not like betting an NFL game. NFL game, you can have all the information possible. And the athletic competition part of it, things are still going to happen. That's outside of your control. And you're never going to be able to predict the play-by-play of an NFL game. If you have perfect information and you have perfect sourcing, you could predict the entire first round of the NFL draft and hit all 31 picks in this sense. Just because if your sources are good enough, just because it's not a competition, it's an information game above all else.
Hey, RJ, are you sold that Bryce is going first, or are you still interested in CJ or someone else at number one?
I think the value is on someone else. I think that you know, he obviously, that's how it trended last week. But, you know, when that move happened, it's before teams would lock in, you know, what they're doing. And so you still got to be conversation that happens between the owner, the general manager, the coaches, all that. And that still had to come. Now it's only snowballed from there. And so I was thinking on Friday, might want to get into CJ Stroud just in case, you know, something like that's going to happen. Now I think it's up, the price is up to like minus 2,400 at one site. So maybe that conversation has happened and it's kind of leaking out that that's going to be locked in the pick. But if it does get to 100% certainty, I mean, even if you're betting minus 2,400, that the implied odds on that are something like, you know, 97 something percent, that still gives you profit potential if you if it literally is 100% certainty.
Right.
Hard to have 100% certainty. There's so much smokescreen that these teams and agents and everybody put forward. All right, that is going to wrap up our NFL draft prop show. Thank you so much for joining us, RJ. Make sure you join us tomorrow at 1 p.m. for more 2023 draft coverage. And as Billy likes to say, smash that like button, leave a comment. Maybe you like Brinson's hair. He's not here today, but his hair has been growing a lot lately. So maybe you want to comment on that. Audio only, you know, do the same. Like, comment, subscribe, do everything that you need to do. And we will see you tomorrow.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.